Good afternoon and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for June 23.
Who knows what day it is anymore? We have no idea.
Actually, I just looked.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
But that's here, is it? What is it, the same day?
It's the 23rd in America as well.
They're just waking up to our day.
That's right.
We've been here for longer.
So this is an extra super special podcast edition from Jerusalem. In a different time zone.
In the same special studio, though.
Yeah.
Because we're sitting in our hotel bed.
We're keeping it.
The sound quality, exactly.
Yeah. It's actually much quieter, though, because the traffic of Jerusalem is farther away.
It's on Shabbat, so you can't hear too much traffic anyway.
There's not going to be a big garbage truck coming by. And the day is wrong. It's Saturday, not Monday.
We shouldn't be operating any mechanical devices.
Yes,
it's Sabbath.
It's the Sabbath. So I think we should talk about that for a minute. I was kind of disappointed by how many people were out on the Sabbath.
The Orthodox Jews are walking around, but then I looked up because I thought there was a rule that you shouldn't walk more than 2,000 steps on the Sabbath. And there is a rule. It's a cubit, not a step.
A cubit is like the size of a city. Yeah. Oh.
No, it's one forearm. It's your forearm. So that is about a step. So 2,000 steps. But
in the city, it doesn't matter how many
steps. It doesn't count until you walk out of the city limits. And that doesn't mean city limits as far as the map goes. But if the house is more than 70 cubits apart from another house, mm-hmm. you've entered the country and you have to start your 2,000 steps.
Like the countryside.
Yes.
When you're 2,000 steps up. But if you're in like a suburb and there's continuous city from one city to the other, you could actually go from city to city.
So an Orthodox Jew living in a neighborhood where our hotel is can walk all the way to the Wailing Wall.
Because it's all city.
It's all city. And there's no, there's...
So everybody was out walking.
Yeah.
But everything was shut pretty much except for all the things that weren't shut, which was the entire old city of Jerusalem.
Right.
Was selling lots of nice things.
Well, because there's a Christian or Armenian or Armenian Christian and then Muslim section of the city as well as the Jewish section.
So we were able to do quite a lot of shopping.
Yeah. We bought most of our stuff.
Praise the Lord. And and also there were just thousands of tourists milling around the old city because that's good for the ambiance as well.
Yeah. Big, huge tour buses.
Full tour groups. Yeah. People with selfie
Asians,
sticks.
Americans. I was happy to find that Americans are not the loudest tourists. There is the caricature of Americans that we are the loudest tourists. But
yeah, but that isn't
I think
true.
It's the Latin Americans are the loudest ones that we've seen. Everywhere they went, they were chanting and screaming and running about.
Right? And then we came across kind of a loud, fluttery group of Muslim tourist group.
Yeah, they were loud too. They
with
were
like, women in hijab, but with this, they all had a badge and they were all fluttering and going through the Christian section of town buying up quantities of
stuff.
Fake antiquities. So, yeah. There was a lot of stuff to buy. In fact, I wanted to buy some art for our church restroom.
Our devotion to Christian Kitsch.
We have a restroom at Good Shepherd that's devoted to Christian Kitsch, and we have the Serenity Prayer, the footsteps in the sand, and we have some pictures of Jesus that are alarmingly weird. And Mary. We have a Mary with a really high forehead. But I don't want to carry them home.
Anyone of our listener has a poster of Jesus breaking the cross with his flexed arm.
Yeah, we want that
for our bathroom.
Please.
You should link it so they know what we're talking about.
I'm sure that, no, I think we should let people Google
I've been searching for that outside of the internet and I haven't been able to find it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to get, there were some icons that were pretty strange, like encrusted with tin or something, and cross-eyed, like who the saints weren't quite, their eyes weren't quite lined up, but I can't carry them home, so I didn't. I'm not going to do it. Nor did I get the tattoo that I should have gotten. I was admonished to go get a tattoo from the 700-year-old Christian tattoo place. And many people from GapCon did go.
I saw many pastors walking out with painful little red sores on their wrists where they got their Jerusalem cross tattoos.
Yeah, but I didn't want to be in pain, and I didn't want to spend the money.
You're just not a hipster. You are not.
No, I didn't. With it. I didn't. The hipster thing, I can't pull it off. So, have you had a good time so far?
I've had a great time. We spent a lot of time. We spent every spare minute, even minutes that weren't spare.
Shouldn't admit that.
Going into the city and seeing, and not just in the city, but seeing things we didn't see before. So we saw the City of David, which is awesome. We saw,
archaeological digs. Is twice as big.
Yeah, the archaeological excavations they've done since the last time we were here in 2008, we were just much more extensive. And so I took pictures, and I'll be, mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to label all the last ones that I took, so.
I should go in and label them.
Laboriously labeling pictures.
So you know what it is.
Yeah.
And then we found the market where people actually shop.
Right. It's not like if you go in the old city, it's just a bunch of trinkets, right?
Yeah.
But people buy food in the
outdoor market.
Which is really nice. It's like Wegmans on steroids.
But better than, it was so much better than Wegmans.
Yeah. Yeah.
I felt really sad, actually.
Yeah.
And it made me homesick because markets in Africa are like that.
Thousands of people.
It had a first world flair to it, because really nice little restaurants were in against sort of third worldy feeling vegetable stalls.
Right.
So it was really nice. It's like the best of
both
worlds. It was
the best day to go there on Friday to see people buying stuff for their Saturday meal.
Which, again, I was really surprised because you can also go out to dinner for Shabbat.
Yeah.
Like, our hotel is full of people who are eating their Orthodox people who are eating their Shabbat meals in the restaurant.
Because the Gentiles will cook for them.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, so my favorite thing so far, and then we should talk about GAFCON itself, which is why we came here.
Yes.
But my favorite thing is going through our hotel seems to be a center for Orthodox Judaism, the finding of your spouse. So there are many different lounges, and in the evenings there are lots of young couples sitting silently, and then in one chair, like off in the corner, there will be an older couple sitting and talking to each other and having a nice time and maybe a glass of wine or something. And they're overseeing all these very young,
very nervous,
very sad looking young people who are just sitting silently. I think they must have to sit there for a certain amount of time before they can go home. It's really wonderful. You walk by and your heart just fails. But, okay, that's the other thing I love. I've got to say this. I don't know how to say it because it's kind of weird. I've been trying to think about it all week. There are so many men and women, obviously married couples, walking together or sitting together in cafes or talking.
Orthodox couples.
So they're, and talking together. So the hotel is full of them. At varying ages, and then on the tram and sitting, walking around, going to the Wailing Wall. There's lots and lots of men and women who are clearly married, talking together, just sitting and talking. And that shouldn't be surprising.
Right,
but it's surprising. I don't even think that I see that in America, really.
The stereotype of Old Testament Judaism is
the patriarchy.
The patriarchy, right?
Yeah, that should be the embodiment of if the patriarchy is a really
oppressive
thing,
and dehumanizing of women.
Yeah, then you would expect to see all the women walking two steps behind, as they do in Africa and some places, or in the other parts of the Middle East, or not there at all. Like, men and women shouldn't be speaking to each other at all.
But these, dude, this is, like, amazing equality, actually.
Yeah, they're talking together.
Right.
The man and his wife talking.
And the dress and the... I mean, one thing you notice also is that the men are just as... They have just as a required dress as well as the women.
Almost more.
And it's definitely gendered. I mean, it's a
yeah,
the gendered... Men have a certain way they must dress, and so do women.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little bit of... it kind of provides some...
But the men is much more fixed. The women's dress is very beautiful and colorful and feminine and bright.
And covered. They're covered. It's
well, everybody's clothes fit them. This is so key.
Yeah.
The women's clothes fit them. This is such an important point. I think I'm used to seeing most American women wearing clothes that actually don't fit.
Shoving themselves into spandex and...
Pouring yourself out like pants. Water into yoga pants that have cutouts now this year. Yoga pants are
just
not trousers.
Just in case they're too restricting.
Leggings are not trousers. You shouldn't wear them alone. No, so the women are just... beautifully dressed, but not covered all the way up, like, you know, in Saudi Arabia at all. It's not.
Yeah.
It's very bright and cheerful and lovely. I'm really, just love the way the women.
Well,
are dressed.
I was surprised because you know the thought in the West is that for a woman to be attractive, she has to have very little clothes on. And
yeah.
And that's not true. There's some beautiful women, and I say that. Just as an observation, not like noticing, but beautiful women who are dressed very modestly, and you don't see.
But you can actually notice the beauty
person.
Of the women, in a way that you really can't notice
when their sexual parts are bulging out. It's hard to notice the beauty of the person because the sexual parts take up all of the space in the area that you're looking. So
the whole train is full of just parts of people instead of like the whole person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really, it's wonderful. I mean, I must have been like this in the States 75 years ago. Or, you know, when watching the black and white silent film of people in the 1900 walking around New York City, you know?
Yeah, all the men were in trousers, all the jackets
and
hats.
Yeah, and there's this very relaxed stance. Actually, the way that people are walking around the street in those really old videos is the same posture and gait that people have here. It's very relaxed, it's confident, it's lovely, and I'm sure it has something to do with the clothes, whereas that's not how people walk around the street where we live.
There's a self-consciousness now when you have which is
appropriate.
Good when you have few clothes on.
When you're not
you
fitting
feel,
into your clothes.
You should feel a little self-conscious about what you're wearing when parts of you are not sheathed in clothing. So. Maybe I should close that window because it's banging.
No, I think it adds to the...
Ambiance, okay.
The ambiance. So, well, okay. That's our thoughts and feelings about being here.
Yes.
What about GAFCON itself? Because we did come for an Anglican...
Right.
time that we've had.
So GAFCON, if you don't know what that means, is Global Anglican Future Conference.
I don't know why it's called a conference even when we're not at a conference.
It's
why
a conference.
Is that? But it's always in a conference because it goes on in between actual
They still call it GAFCON between conferences, I know.
Yeah. We've only had three conferences, but it's been here for 10 years.
Well, so it's alternately known, and sometimes it's FCA, Fellowship of Confessing Anglicans, but I'm not sure how this works out. But they should, I think, give a if we're going to be a parallel kind of thing.
Well, no. So it's defection in place.
Yeah. If you read the statement, you should link the statement that came out of the GAFCON conference. But essentially what we're doing, and I like the idea. The earlier draft of the statement was much stronger, and I loved it. This is watered down because, man.
Don't complain.
There were so many people.
Stop.
We got to be nice. Anyway, it was so mealy-mouthed.
But they didn't all make it into the final one.
Thanks be to God that there was some strength left in the statement because everyone in the...
Not everyone.
Most... I heard... The feedback I heard was not just our See, they after they read their first draft of the statement, we all broke up into little conferences.
And we got to say what for, we thought.
Depending on your region. So Americans in one place, Nigerians in another, Kenyans in another. And we all get to say what we thought about it. And in our conference, you know, just, I don't think it's gender neutral enough. I don't think we had... What about the patriarchy? What about... It's just so many weird objections to pretty straightforward language. Which is exactly what gets Anglicans headed down the road to emasculation in the first place. So anyway, the final statement was fine. It was okay. It was softer than I wanted, but it was okay. It did what it needed to do, which is we represent 50 million Anglicans out of 90 or 70 million, depending on how you count. So we're the majority of the Anglican world here. And... The previous stance has been, okay, we're encouraging people not to go to Canterbury, not to go to meetings. We're not leaving the Anglican Communion, but we're not participating in the structures of communion. But we really haven't had any parallel structures. And so one thing we're starting to do is create parallel structures so that we're not just telling people not to go to these other places. We're also saying, come here. Focus your... You can still be part of a communion. Or the communion, within the communion, by participating in these structures that are not associated with the false teaching of the Episcopal Church or New Zealand or
Scotland,
right?
Or England,
right? But right. Well, in England, North right? America. England is the English Church, led by the Archbishop of Canterbury, has, and yeah, I got in a conversation with somebody about this last night. His whole program from before he became the Archbishop of Canterbury has been to reduce the question of human sexuality to a non-essential issue and say that it's something that Christians can agree to disagree about. And of course it's not, because Paul says, those who do these things unrepentantly go to hell. So that's not, so there's not a thing we can compromise on. This is a gospel issue. Marriage is a gospel issue. So anyway, the statement then is kind of creates a way to have a structure within the Anglican Communion that people can participate in and not have to participate with the Canterbury-centered structure. It's
defecting in place.
Yeah.
Which is what we tell people to do when they're in a difficult situation, say a marriage or a family situation,
mm-hmm.
Where one person is super dysfunctional and maybe even be sort of emotionally abusive, but you need to maintain that relationship for a variety of reasons. Like you, right. it's not the best thing just to leave completely. So what you do then, if you're just a single person, is to defect in place. You maintain your relationship, but you refuse to be controlled or you don't respond to the other person's abusive dysfunction with any emotion
or participation.
You don't do what they say. You don't give in to them. You maintain your own personal
right.
who you are, and you make decisions. As if they're functional. And that causes them to change.
Yeah.
Because you're not being controlled anymore. They have to adjust their abusive and manipulative right. behavior.
And if they don't, that's fine. You can just carry on.
Right? Carry on.
You're creating a reality for yourself within the structure of that relationship that doesn't depend on the other person, essentially.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
So it's brilliant to do it on a corporate level.
Yeah.
I think that's actually really intelligent. Strategically good.
The one area where I thought the statement was rather weak is just going on to encourage bishops not to attend Lambeth and the other meetings of the communion, and we should have said we are not going to participate, and if you want to be part of GAFCON, you're not going to participate in those meetings, because doing so lends credence to these false teachers. you give them the status of Christian minister by participating in Christian meetings with them when they're not Christian. They're false teachers. So I think that was one area of weakness that continues to plague GAFCON.
And then
is our unwillingness
that,
to say, right, we're not going to be part of your dog and pony show.
Your bad meetings.
Right.
Until that finally gets done, I don't think, well, I don't know. I think we carry on, but I think once we finally do that, we'll make much greater strides.
I think the more the strong bishops or Orthodox bishops continue to participate in that system, the less strong they'll become. This is why Nigeria has stood so strong, and other provinces like Kenya have become less so because they have not maintained their separation, which is a biblically necessitated thing, to separate yourself from these heretics and not, Paul says it very clearly in 1 Corinthians 5, don't even eat with somebody who claims to be a Christian and is yet an idolater or whatever. You can't let them hold up the name of Christ and then blaspheme it
at
the same time and have your fellowship. So
it is true. Kenya has definitely
weakened
over the time that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Uganda is pretty strong. Have they gone to? I don't think
no,
they've gone.
Well, in that very same chapter, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says that, this is the kind of thing. Sin spreads like yeast through dough. So if you continue to participate in these things, you're going to be sapped by it. Your strength is going to be sapped by it. It's going to spread, possibly even to your own province, and then pretty soon you're going to be undermined. So you've got to separate yourself. And these bishops, I don't know why they can't understand that. I don't know what the problem is. I'm so fed up with the unity at all costs kind of thinking that even Orthodox bishops have. And not even real unity, just being together.
Right. It's not real unity. It's just going
occasionally
to talk to Welby and then have a photo shoot that just completely undermines everything that you've said in the previous 3 years. It's really okay, but I was really impressed this whole week with how, well, it's really big for one thing. This conference was huge. How not Amerocentric it's been. The power,
not American.
Right. Yeah, like the power base of GAFCON seems to be shared pretty equally. It's not driven just by America trying to make sure that it's got a place in the world. It's like, desperate Americans wanting to still be Anglican. That's not the feeling at all. It's very much Orthodox Anglican identity around the world.
Yeah, in 2008, the Americans were kind of running the show.
And we were taking up the emotional
oxygen. Because we were in the middle of losing our buildings. Yeah. Not just us, but everybody in America.
Whereas now, I think we're actually, the American church is being helpful to those who are entering into loss, New Zealand and so on, and Scotland.
And
GAFCON is an actual help to people. And
we got to stand in front of
2,000
people.
We got to tell our story.
It was really...
And praise the Lord, we went first.
Right.
Because our time of suffering was, that we lost our church building and got
our home.
It was
bad. It was horrible, but not compared to
the
people who
followed
us.
We got a much better one, though.
Right. People who followed us had much worse to say about what happened to them.
Yeah.
The violence, actually.
Some of them are... the reason
we
that
have
it's not
our
online,
struggling in our struggle against sin, we have not yet shed blood.
Right. That being the key.
We might have had our confiscation of our property, but we have not shed blood. So we're somewhere
people,
in Hebrews, but not shedding blood part.
The people who came after us had. That's why ours isn't online, because those people continue to actually be in danger.
Yeah.
And so their names aren't out there because they could still be.
But I can see how with people in South Carolina who are dealing with our former bishop, Skip Adams,
that makes me want to die.
Yeah,
it's so awful.
How they would need to hear our story,
our
narrative, because it's all about story at the end of the day.
Well, I see somebody said that this time, and I finally was like, okay, I see what you're saying. Your stories
not story, but stories are very important. Because the gospel is a story. I hear you, and I agree. Just don't say story without an article in front of it. Tell a story. Don't tell story.
Don't make it a verb, too.
That'd don't verb it. We're going to story our way through this podcast. No, I mean, so it is actually, I was really happy not to relive the trauma, but looking into the eyes of people in South Carolina does make bring it all back and make me really heartbroken for them, because they're facing loss at the hands of a person who should never have even been a priest, let alone a bishop or a clergy person. I mean, person who does not affirm Christian doctrine.
Yeah.
Is confiscating, doing his utmost to confiscate the property of true believers. So it is heartbreaking.
You know, it's fascinating. Right before the statement came out, the Archbishop of Canterbury tweeted a prayer.
A prayer.
For us, because he's such a Christian. And people will think, oh. No, he knew exactly when our statement was going to come out.
Yeah.
He knew what we were talking about.
Yep.
That prayer was the most cynical thing you can do, right? He's not really concerned about us. He's wanting to portray himself in Christ-like tones, so that we come off as the haters, right? Yeah. When he's actually the one facilitating, leading people into hell.
Yeah.
Right? So you keep your prayers.
Yeah. Don't pray for us. I don't know who you're praying to.
Right. Right. And you know, his efforts are being aided by the living church. The living church is in direct communication with him, and they may present themselves as Orthodox, but they're doing their best to undermine GAFCON. Yeah. With the exception of, we should say, you know,
they have a writer here.
They have a writer here who's really good and who we really admire, Esau Macaulay.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome. But
and he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
But they are.
Don't read Living. Read it. Well, but read don't,
his pieces there.
Yeah.
And then everything else, if you read it, just take it with like pounds of salt.
It's their court prophets. They're paid mouthpieces. They're currying influence and power with the Archbishop of Canterbury. I'm sorry. Do I sound cynical? I feel.
Yeah, you're starting to sound bitter.
I know. I should be bitter.
I thought you didn't care anymore.
I love them with the love of the Lord.
Yeah, I can tell. So, yeah, well, I think, okay, what's also nice is that the new president of, or just chairman or president of GAFCON is the Right Reverend Foley Beach. And I like that very much because they've matched,
yeah,
he's kind of head to head with Welby, and the number of people that he has in the communion is much bigger. So I think Welby's just,
it does kind of
small.
Put Welby in a difficult position, because, you know, Welby's trying to position himself as the leader of Anglicanism, right?
Yeah.
In communion worldwide, and here's now the president of GAFCON is not recognized by him as part of being thank God, as being in the communion. But he leads more people in the communion than than Welby does. So Welby has at most 40, probably more like 30, and 30 million, and Foley Beach has 50 million under his leadership.
I mean, it's not about the numbers.
In the communion. Now, he's not recognized by Canterbury as being part of the communion, but he leads more of those in the communion. So it's a really bold move to put him in as president.
Yeah,
I think it's really a nice smackdown. Because Welby has to now decide how he's going to relate to him.
Yeah.
Is how he's going to treat him. So
that's nice. That's the picture of defecting in place. You refuse to leave.
Yeah.
But you stick it in the eye of the person who's
right.
not helpful.
and the general secretary of the Anglican Communion is
a Nigerian
named Fearon. The last name is Fearon. I can't remember.
Oh, you mean of the Anglican Communion?
Of the Anglican Communion. Yeah, his last name is Fearon. I forget how to pronounce his first.
I thought the general secretary was a Nigerian.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a Nigerian.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
And so
we made Kwashi.
Benjamin Kwashi, Archbishop Benjamin Kwashi from Nigeria, our
general
secretary. So, right. So it's a nice little parallel.
Go toe to toe. But we're not leaving. We are not leaving. That's the key. So, yeah.
Right. So it was good.
I was really, the talks were really great. And the...
Mike, if you get a chance to listen to Michael Rader's sermon on preaching based on the 2024, you should link that in your links. It was so good.
I don't know if I'm actually going to do links because you're going to go back to America and you're going to send this to me and then I'm going to try to put it up.
Oh.
And it's going to be complicated. So it might just go up without links.
Okay.
But
all right.
We'll have to see how it plays out. But that's on the GAFCON live stream for sure, and that was really worth it. That was a really, really good talk. Overall, they were really great. I was really helped. And the music was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing about this one is that we got to talk to lots of nice people, and you weren't writing for Stand Firm, so you were never in trouble.
Right, usually when I raise conferences, I write something that gets me
in
trouble. So this time everyone seemed to like us.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas before, no one likes us because I'm writing.
It was really nice. We just went from one nice coffee and dinner to another with really nice people.
Yeah.
So that was great. The Anglicans can be really nice.
When you're not writing about them.
When you're not writing about them. But if you're reporting on what they're doing...
Then the teeth come out, the fangs, the claws, right? The last time I was here in 2008, I was the only representative from Stand Firm, and there was an embargoed statement. What that means, like when there's a news release coming out, sometimes they'll embargo it, meaning the press can't release it until a certain time.
Yeah.
And so there was a statement that was coming out, but that was embargoed. I forget what happened, but Greg Griffith, who ran Stand Firm, who was back in the States,
didn't know.
Either didn't get the message or something. I don't know what happened, but anyway, it went up on Stand Firm.
But you were here.
I was the only one here. I didn't know. It was my fault. I didn't put it up. Hell
fury
descended on me. I was this man. Bishops were irate. They really
didn't want
despise
that
me after that.
Yeah.
After that. Some of them still probably not forgiving me, I don't think.
Yeah.
But
I think that's true.
Oh well.
But ordinary people don't even know, and
yeah,
they are really nice.
Yeah.
So no, right, it was really nice, and I met people from all over the place and had lots of nice conversations on buses on the way to the Dead Sea and waiting for our picture to be taken at the temple place.
That was not
that
fun.
Was okay, parts of it were fun. Saying Psalm 122 was so great, but then waiting for the picture,
but why I just can't understand why you would. We were all in a nice convention center seated in our seats, and from the stage, because we were on the stage,
yeah,
you
could
can
see
everyone's face, so why not put a camera right there and take a picture of it? And now I think someone heard that criticism, because they wrote an article about this in GAFCON's little...
Yeah.
Well, it is important to go in the seven steps of the temple where Peter preached his first sermon, and Jesus would have gone up in the temple so that we could sing songs together and have our picture taken there.
But why was it important?
Why, I forget. Because that was the first place we took our picture. So does that mean that every time we come to Jerusalem, we're going to take that picture?
Are we ever coming here again?
I don't know. I hope you and I come together sometime.
But we are not going to take a picture. Like,
next time we hear about the picture,
duty.
we're gonna have to go be sick or something. Oh, I have a fever.
I have a fever. No. That's really bad.
No, I mean,
and the
I
only
don't,
cure is more cowbell.
We need more cowbell.
What's that? Do I have a fever?
And oh, the only cure is more cowbell.
So.
Yeah.
One more picture of.
It was really big, and then everybody got given a picture of it, a copy of it.
Yeah.
So, it can be, there are copies of this picture now all over the world. 2,000 right. pictures. You can find one and probably sell it on eBay. So, well, what else? Anything else? Are you still Anglican?
Huh?
Are you still Anglican after this week?
Yeah. I think I actually have, this is the first time in a long time that I have more hope than despair over the possibility of wresting the Anglican communion out of the hands of wicked heretics, but
it's like a quiet, maybe by attrition, or it's not going to be, it's just going to be that, it's going to be like the Episcopal Church versus the ACNA, and this will be how Anglicanism grows around the world, like in New Zealand and England. Institutional churches will just gradually fade away because they are nobody wants to go.
Orthodox people don't participate in them. They pull away and let them die on the vine, right? That's what they should do.
Yeah.
Let the CV die.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think that there's some hope that choice is becoming clear. It's become clear for a lot of people. And really, there's just a couple of holdouts. And I think over time, it'll just, because it won't just be, thing is that the what's been helpful isn't it what it's not just gay marriage anymore, it's transgenderism,
right? No,
it's
every,
like Islam, there's so many things,
more issues to compromise Christianity over than there were before.
If you can't use the word he or she to refer to human people, like it's just getting harder and harder. And so Christianity, like, if you weren't really sure on some of those issues, now you can have, there are plenty of issues.
Are you going to close that? I wanted to close that one before, you wouldn't let me do it.
I don't know, but now it's just banging every moment. So, there, we have our usual time where we close the window.
We have to stop some painful noise going on.
Even though there's
the
no children here to yell at to stop playing the piano or something like that. So I do think, though, that we're kind of tired because we're petering out here.
I know, I'm exhausted.
And we have to leave very, very early in the morning.
Yeah, see, you got me some of the best plane tickets ever.
Yeah, but it's the price is unbeatable.
I'm flying to Iceland.
Where you have a 7-hour layover.
8-hour layover, I looked at it again.
Oh, really?
8-hour layover in Iceland. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to at least go out and get my thing stamped.
I think that's so unwise. You're going to miss your flight back.
No, I won't miss it back. Get my thing stamped and go hang out in Reykjavik. And then I'll come back. And then I have a flight to Cincinnati.
I think it's Kentucky.
Which gets in, it gets into the airport at 11:30 at night.
And then you fly out in the morning.
And I fly out in the morning. And I don't know where I'm going to stay.
You're going to stay in the airport. Because that's why you got that cheap ticket.
I don't know if they let you stay in the airport. Some airports kick you out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In Gatwick, they herded us all into this horrible lounge room. We all had to sleep there. It was awful. And it smelled bad.
Oh.
But I don't know what they're going to do here. So.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then you'll get home, and that'll be really great.
On Monday, we thought it was going to be Sunday, but it's a 2-day flight, which should be 13 hours in the air, but 2 days to get from one place to the other.
But it was only $350. So.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, you told me to find you a cheap ticket, so I did.
I didn't know what you were going to do when I said
found
that.
You a really cheap ticket.
You did. Thank you.
I just did what I was told to do.
Patriarchy.
Yeah. The patriarchy said, find something cheap, and so I did. And now you cannot complain about it. Whereas I'm taking a pretty easy flight through Ethiopia to go to Kenya for a week and a half to look at Kawinda School.
I think we should make a deal never to fly WOW Airlines again, even if it's cheap.
Yeah, maybe that.
It's so much trouble.
Yeah, it is a lot of trouble. There's no baggage, there's no food. And yeah, I can see that.
Oh, we should close, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
You've totally faded out.
I have exhausted. I'm sorry.
We won't be able to do this again until July sometime, after the 4th of July when I get back. Because I'm going to see the school of Cahuinda to look at it.
In Kenya.
To see if we can, what we can do for the children there. I'm excited. I'm going to meet people and hopefully make some connections. If you're interested in the school at Cahuinda, you can private message me to find out what we're doing. I'm really excited, but I'm going to miss you.
Are you talking to our listener or me?
I'm talking to you and my listener, because I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, and a half.
I'm going to miss you too.
Yeah.
It's going to be terrible.
You're going to be with the children.
It's going to be great.
And I'm going to be just...
with friends in Kenya. Kenya. Yeah.
So, but until then, I hope everybody becomes Anglican and has a really good 4th of July.